My data, I think I told you, was I'm turning. I know that this is a long lane. I see cars in front of me. I see a gap. I judge the distance the speed and distance of this person. I speed up. I get in. Okay. Interpretation. This is where we make the most. This is the next step. And interpretation is where we make the most mistakes. Because we don't realize we're making assessments, right? When I saw the traffic patterns, I had several interpretations. One was, that woman is going too fast. Someone should slow her down. I can speed up and get in front of her. So these were interpretations that I was making. No one should drive that fast in this intersection, right? That's a judgment that I'm making. I happen to feel like I was right. She's coming so fast, and the cars in front of her, I also see, are going at a reasonable speed, and she's going to have to slow down anyway. And I don't want to put on my brakes. I shouldn't have to put on my brakes and wait for her, because I'm in the right, and she is in the wrong, and someone needs to teach her a lesson. Okay? That's my interpretation here. Now, I don't happen to believe that was wrong. I believe that my judgments and my interpretations were correct. And had I had a radar gun, I would have clocked her at about 55. It's a 40-mile-an-hour zone, plus she's coming through, and she's going to have to slow down anyway. So what's the big deal? These are all my judgments. This is my narrative. This is my meaning. My meaning is, people drive too fast on this road. People should slow down. I am here to help people learn better. This is my narrative. This is my meaning. This is my story. So I decide in a split second to step on the gas and to get in. And I get in front of her. I'm not even like cutting her off. I get in front of her. She comes right up to my bumper, honks the horn, and makes obscene gestures at me. Another opportunity for interpretation. How would you interpret that situation? I'm curious. She's waving at me.
With one finger.
Waving at me with one finger. The other thing that I saw, one of my perceptions, was she had a handicap sticker hanging down from her. People who are vulnerable shouldn't be driving that fast. Another one of my superior judgments. People who drive too aggressively shouldn't get mad when people pull in front of them. Right? That's reasonable, right? What other interpretations? This is a very impatient, immature person. Because if they can't handle it, they're stupid enough to figure out that they're going to have to slow down anyway, then what's the difference? You know? So the fact that she's waving hand gestures at me and clearly screaming, like I can see her mouth going like this.
She has
issues with anger. She needs to go to anger management. She could be in pain. She could be going to the doctor. There are all kinds of things she could be doing, I suppose. I could be making her late to work, all kinds of things. Okay, my response on the other hand was, and this is the part I remind you of your solemn vow. I also became angry, was yelling back at her, and there might have been hand gestures flying. Yeah. I have a problem with this. You know, ask my children, ask my husband. I yell at people on the highway. I'm sorry, I have a case of road rage. And I'm trying to work on it. But in those moments where I'm making these decisions, it's happening just like that. So anyway, we get past our little episode, and then I'm driving along 72nd, and my reasonable brain comes on board, and I'm thinking, she's probably going to the Arvada Center. She's probably going to be working in the pottery studio. You're probably going to see her in the parking lot.
What are you going to do now? So then I have this conversation with myself. So then I go back and restart the video, right? So I review the data and I review my interpretation, most of which I'm not ready to let go of. You know, I still think she was being aggressive, but the interpretations that I didn't engage in were my own, right? Okay, so how do I interpret my behavior? So then I generate a ton of judgments about, oh, if your students could only see you now. Oh my, wasn't that mature? Oh, what are you going to do when you get to the Arvada Center and she parks right next to you? Oh, because this has happened to me before. I've had people throw things out their car windows at me. I've had people get out of their car to come to my window and scream at me. I have had people, yeah. So this is data coming from my memory banks. This is a problem that I have. And I can't do the judgment of my own. Like, I can't self-reflect yet before I make the decision to teach this woman a lesson. So I make all kinds of judgments, and that's when I stop. I rewind the tape, and it suddenly occurs to me I have 100 other choices I could have made. I could have done it completely different. I could have said, oh, thought to myself, this person seems to be going pretty fast. It's not going to cost me anything to slow down. I don't need to cause a scene here. I'll just let her go. She'll figure out soon enough that she has to put on the brakes, that the traffic's not going to go faster just because she's in a hurry. That would have been a very reasoned response. Could have done that. But since I didn't, then I had to figure out, what am I going to do when I get there? And I generated these whole scenarios. So my mind is working really hard to figure out now into the future how I'm going to solve a problem in the future. So this is another thing that I want you to notice, is that if we can't control the present, we try to redo the past. And if we can't redo the past, then we project into the future and we try to control the future. So this isn't unreasonable necessarily. You can always learn from your mistakes and you can always prepare for disaster that might happen in the future. And in that case, you know, nobody got hurt or anything, and she didn't go to the Arvada Center. But I just noticed as I was doing that how my mind was operating. That if I couldn't make the right, you know, a better decision in the moment, then I was going to try to redo the past, and I was going to have to over-prepare for the future. Okay? Another principle you can write down. So that was my example about my little minor road rage experience. Any questions or observations or comments you want to make about that? The question is, explain redoing the past. So that's when I went back and thought, was there something else I could have done? Because it was a little bit alarming that it happened so fast and I'd made such a stupid move so quickly without thinking. It just was really some impulse. I was gathering data so fast. And this is what happens between the A and the R, between the action and the result. The human mind works lickety-split, and it works according to its own habits. And the more you do something, the more you think something, the faster you think it. And so the next time, it happens automatically, and there's no room for cognition inside that equation. And so that's why we justify ourselves, that's why we get into arguments, that's why we defend ourselves, because what else was I supposed to do? Like, okay, I made a mistake. What are you gonna, you know? Then we feel stupid if we make a mistake and we realize there was no time. Like, this happened and then that happened and then this result happened and I blew it somehow. And I can't defend myself because it happened so fast. But really, the more we can slow it down and do these postmortems on these kinds of things and see what's happening behind the scenes, we're exposing the magic trick so that as you become more aware, you're getting this executive center of your brain online more, and you're developing this observer part of you so that you can eventually do it differently next time. Well, maybe not next time. Maybe 100 times down the road after you do 100 postmortems and go, okay. That was my mistake there. But the question is, what did I mean by reviewing the past? And so as I started to feel embarrassed at myself, critic came on right away. So as soon as I'm going down the road feeling like, then I start to feel really stupid. Then I start to feel really embarrassed. And the critic is right there. Oh, that's mature. Oh, that's really mature. If, you know, and then I imagine all the people that might have seen me do that and be shocked that I was capable of such a thing. So partly I'm just curious, but partly I hate the fact that I made a mistake, that I hate the fact that I did something stupid and potentially dangerous. And so I want to think about what I should have done instead, or what I would have done instead. And I don't know that there's anything dysfunctional about that exactly, especially in that situation, because I learned from it. But in situations where we're at in our lives, when we have something that we've done or that happened to us that continues to torment us, like this happens all the time, right? And we think about it over and over and over again. How many people have imaginary conversations in their head out loud, yeah. Out loud all the time. Yeah. That's, and there's nothing wrong with that. It can be adaptive, but if you're like me, you play that tape over and over and over, not to learn something, but to beat yourself up over and over and over again, or to wish that you were more powerful than you were, you know, because we get in these situations, stuff happens, we freeze, or we don't know what to do, we feel stupid, or we get disrespected somehow, and then it's over, and then some part of us is like, you blew it, you should have done something else. So then we go back, we replay the tape, and we flog ourselves with it, right? Anybody? Or we try to replay it and make it different than it was. So I should have said, and if you're like some of us, the next five people we talk to, we're recounting the situation, and you said, I should have said, blah, 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 and I was really thinking, blah, 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 and then it just expands. But if we could measure the emotional energy and the suffering, like if there were units of suffering that, and a way to measure those kinds of situations, we would be shocked by the weight of it, or the time spent, or the energy spent trying to redo something that's in the past, okay? Except for purposes of, you know, learning better. So that's why I wanted to note that. Not because in that situation it was a stupid thing to do. I learned something from that. I can kind of go, okay, other people can be jerks. It doesn't have to be a contest. It doesn't take anything away from me. I can stay calm. I can let haters hate, you know, whatever you want to say. And I can be all right. So that's why I pointed that out. Because it's a mistake we make in lots of situations. Any other questions? Yeah, I mean, there is learning that needs to happen, and replaying the past, and for the purposes of opening it up to other options. That's always a healthy thing to do. But watch out for, because there's something in us that resists that kind of objective, non-judgmental learning. See, in order to do that, you have to have this ability to accept something about yourself, you know, to just own it for what it is and to not. But what happens is, because we hold these ideas that no one should ever see, that I'm really a terrible person, or that I, you know, we have all kinds of ideas about that. And so anytime something comes at us, we make a mistake. That's starts another equation, right? So we make a mistake, and we got to figure out how to be okay. That starts another action result process. So let's start with that. So the action is, I wasted energy, or I
wasted is a value word, so I'll erase that. But I used a lot of energy. I feel distressed.
Any other data that we know to be data that's verifiable, that's a fact after that? So this is post-incident. Now we're starting a new equation for the mental process I'm going through to help answer Lori's question. Well, regret is, I feel regret. I think that might be data. It might be an interpretation. So I need to interpret that. What does it mean that I used a bunch of energy, I feel distressed, and something feels unpleasant, I'm stirred up? So this is another area where I could make a mistake, right? I could, so let's figure out results. So a possible result from the action of using energy, feeling regret, is that I become depressed. My mood goes down. My day is ruined. In order to get this result, I started with some action here. So I replayed the tape, and I assessed that I used a lot of energy there, that I actually did wave my finger and yell. And now I feel disrupted and distressed. What does that mean? How do I interpret that data? Well, see, this is what I'm trying to illustrate. We could have a non-judgmental interpretation. We could have a business as usual interpretation. So business as usual interpretation, I'm a bad person. If you've been here on some of my crazy brain, you realize that all roads lead to I suck. Yeah, all roads lead to I suck. So for me, that's totally true. If I'm not paying attention, if I get distressed, or if I do something that doesn't fit with how I perceive myself to be, my ideal self, if I make an action that doesn't line up with my ideal self, then I am a failure, bad person, and I suck, okay? So that interpretation goes here. If I'm a bad person, then that triggers a whole other like sub file of countless other pieces of data that I have collected of ways that, yep, no matter how hard I try, I suck. Not only do I suck, but I will always, because now I'm projecting into the future, I will always suck. So this is what I mean by narratives and meaning. Because when anything happens, your brain is trying to figure out, what does it mean? It's already got a bunch of data in there, a bunch of experiences in there that it's interpreted, and has come to the conclusion through many, many of these experiences as a child, or, you know, with a incapable brain, because we are too young to really understand things objectively. The bottom line is, I suck. Oh, there you go. Yep, you suck. You're gathering evidence and locking it away. So every time something happens, if you've got I suck down in there somewhere, then all roads will lead there because of the efficiency of the brain. Does that make sense? So it just happens naturally. It's not anybody's fault, although there are some things that help it along. In a perfect world, if we have perfect parents and perfect experiences, we would hope that that would not be our bottom line conclusion, right?